Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today on this Pentecost Sunday. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence to hear your holy word and to worship and praise you for your great love. May our worship be pleasing in your sight, and we ask you, Lord, to send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and increase our love for you. Keep us steadfast until that day when Jesus comes again to take us to our heavenly home, to live with you forever in peace and joy. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is, O Holy Spirit, Enter In. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered together to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, on this day you taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by that same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and to always rejoice in his holy consolation. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. For our first scripture reading today on this Pentecost Sunday, we'll be reading the first section of the account of Pentecost taken from Acts chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 13. The verses that follow will be the basis for our sermon text for today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the rushing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw divided tongues that were like fire resting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, since the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak fluently. Now there were godly Jewish men from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When this sound was heard, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely baffled and said to each other, "Look, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and of Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God." They were all amazed and perplexed. They kept saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked them and said, "They are full of new wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. "Glory to you, O Lord." These are words of Jesus to his disciples. Again, these were spoken the night before he was crucified, and he speaks to them about the comfort the Holy Spirit would bring them. He actually goes so far to say that it's good for them that he goes away, because then he will send the Comforter, the Counselor, his Holy Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of Truth, who would lead them into all truth, as he most definitely would on Pentecost and throughout the New Testament era, leading God's people into the truth of the Word of God. "But now I am going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Yet because I have told you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is good for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I said that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you." Here ends our gospel reading. Praise to you, O Christ.
Amen.
Please rise. For our confession of faith today, we'll be using the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. We'll say those words along with Luther's explanation from the Catechism. The third article of the Apostles' Creed and the explanation are found printed in your bulletin on the top of page 7. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Holy Spirit, Light Divine. Rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has sent us the Helper, the Comforter, his Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Pentecost Sunday is the rest of that account of the first Pentecost from Acts chapter 2. We read from verses 14 through 21. Or at least a portion of what happened that day. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them. Men of Judea and all you residents of Jerusalem, understand this and listen closely to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. On the contrary, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what God says will happen in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a rising cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And this will happen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If you had been there on that first Pentecost and heard the rushing wind, seen the tongues of fire appearing on the heads of the apostles, and heard them speaking in many different languages to the multinational crowd that was living and had gathered there in Jerusalem that day, do you think you'd respond in much the same way that many of the people in the crowd responded? They were all amazed and perplexed. They kept saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Well, of course you'd respond that way. We are Lutherans, right? We ask, "What does this mean?" Read through the Luther's Catechism at all for a few pages, and you'll hear that question asked over and over again, right? What does this mean? Maybe you've found yourself asking that question when you've heard this account of Pentecost. What does this mean? What is the meaning of Pentecost? Peter answers that question in our text. He first of all defends the apostles. They were accused of being drunk, and he says, that's ridiculous. It is only the third hour of the day, which would have been 9 a.m. And then he points them, more importantly, to the Old Testament scriptures and declares this is a fulfilling of an Old Testament prophecy. He points to the prophet Joel in the last verses of our text and points out that God had, in fact, prophesied that the sending of the Holy Spirit would happen in the last days and that it would be accompanied by miraculous signs. You hear that expression used often, the last days. Well, the last days, as they are defined by the Bible, refer to the time after Jesus completed his work of salvation, which would mean his ascension into heaven, until the time he returns again on Judgment Day. That means his apostles were alive in Pentecost and during their lifetimes. They were alive during these last days. That means we are as well. And although the Holy Spirit's working among us is not usually manifested in the same way it was on that day of Pentecost, yet the Holy Spirit still works, lives, and dwells in the hearts of believers. God still pours out His Spirit on us through His Word and in the miracle of baptism. In the last verse of the Gospel of Mark, Mark tells us that these miraculous signs and these manifestations of the Holy Spirit were used by God to confirm the word through the accompanying signs, those miracles that he produced through the apostles. And when we examine church history, we see that after the New Testament scriptures were completed, once the apostles had all died off, the need for these signs essentially ended. Because the scriptures themselves were completed. They were the authority. They authenticated themselves. They were the truth. And they were filled with promises that the Spirit would be in the presence of the hearts of all believers. That's why God could say through the apostle, or through the prophet Joel and the apostle Peter, these words: "This is what God says will happen in the last days. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." That doesn't make sense if it's only referring to this day of Pentecost. Peter goes on to quote Joel, and he says, "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Now, those tongues of fire that appeared above the apostles' head, the speaking in tongues, those were the visible and audible proof that God had indeed sent His Holy Spirit to His apostles as the prophet Joel had predicted. They did prophesy. Now that word prophesy first and foremost means to proclaim what God wants to make known. We don't always think of that primary definition first when we hear that word prophesy. We often think of it as something that predicts the future, or maybe a message from God that predicts the future. But when God gave His Holy Spirit, that's not always what was involved. It was not always involving the foretelling of future events or prophecies in that sense of God telling us what is going to happen. But what it always involved was the preaching of a message that God wants to make known, especially the gospel message of salvation through the life, the death, and resurrection of His Son Jesus. After all, that is the reason the apostles were given this ability to speak in tongues that day in the first place. That was the reason behind that miracle. What was that reason? Well, the people of the crowd answered that question for ourselves when we read in the earlier in the chapter of Acts that in bewildered amazement they said, "We hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God." They were astounded by that. They were amazed by that. The miracle itself was done in order to do something greater, namely to spread the gospel and to proclaim, in the words of the people, the wonderful works of God. That tells us what the greatest miracle of Pentecost was. The greatest miracle of Pentecost was, of course, the power of the message, the gospel. The astonishing power of the Holy Spirit is displayed most evidently in His use of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through these words, He literally does the impossible. He creates living hearts of faith, saving faith in the stone-dead hearts of men and women, in infants and elderly, rich and poor. And Peter refers to the greatest of all these miracles when he speaks the last words of our text, again quoting from the prophet Joel, "And this will happen, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now that is a miracle, a great miracle. Calling on the name of the Lord is an Old Testament expression that is equal to believing in the Lord Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Through that miracle of faith that is created in us by the Holy Spirit, we are saved from the death that we deserved and instead given everlasting life in heaven. This greatest of all miracles, in fact, happened in an incredible amount on that Pentecost day. If you read later on in the chapter 2 of Acts, we find out that on that day, on Pentecost, about 3,000 people were added. 3,000 souls that day were rescued from eternal death, and their names were written in the book of life in heaven. Is there a greater miracle than that? This miracle of Pentecost was clearly not just intended for that day of Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the last great miracle of God before Christ's return on the last day. So yes, that great miracle of Pentecost began on Pentecost, but it continues even to this day. Whenever the gospel message is preached, whenever God's saving word is shared and it's believed, the great miracle of Pentecost still continues today, and it will until Jesus comes again. So what does this mean? And what does it mean for us? It means that this great miracle of Pentecost, which we are celebrating today, is still happening today. And what it means for us is that that great miracle has happened to each one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. His power working through the Word and the water of the sacrament of baptism. His power working in the Word and the bread and wine of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Our souls, too, have been rescued from eternal death, and our names have been written into the book of life in heaven. Think of what amazing miracle that is. A miracle that God has performed for you and in you. As we commemorate and celebrate this day of Pentecost, may we always remember what it means. May we always be thankful that God's Holy Spirit has worked that greatest miracle of faith within us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service today with our next hymn, Creator Spirit, by whose aid, I invite you to stand for the last verse. Thank you. We bring before our Father's throne today our Pentecost prayers, also prayers for Memorial Day tomorrow. Also prayers are requested for Barb Fleischer. She is the wife of one of our former pastors, Dan Fleischer. He was also CLC president for many years. Barb, unfortunately, has recently been diagnosed with ALS, and so we pray for her and for her family as she goes through that terrible illness. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our great physician, on this day we praise you for giving us your comforter, your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd bring comfort and strength to Barb Fleischer, to her husband Dan, and to their family and loved ones at her diagnosis with ALS. We pray that you'd comfort and guide her and direct her, give her the strength of knowing that you're right there with her, and help her through this difficult trial. Dear Lord, give her body the strength that she needs, but also increase her faith in you. Do the same for Dan as well, that he may be a good helper for her, and that the family would be comforted knowing that you're right there with her through this whole process. In the end, dear Lord, we thank and praise you that you have rescued Barb's soul by bringing her to faith in you, and remind her of the comfort, and remind her family of the comfort and joy that she has waiting for her in heaven. Be with them and bless them through this difficult process, and spare her from pain if it be your will. Dear Jesus, on this day we set aside to honor those who have died in the service of our great country as we look to celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. We praise you for giving us such a country that recognizes and honors its citizens for this sacrifice. We thank you for all that they've done for our country, and we pray that you'd bless and be with their family members and loved ones who are feeling their loss. We thank you also, dear Lord, for the saints who have gone before us, those who have served in the army of your church and have preserved for us the rich heritage of your gospel. We remember the blessings that you gave to them and that you gave through them to us. We praise you, Savior, in your eternal glory, that you went through the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. O Holy Spirit, you are the divine counselor. On Pentecost, you established the Christian church through the preaching and hearing of the word of truth. We pray that you'd continue to bless this word, both upon the lips of Christ's witnesses and upon the hearts of all who hear, that countless souls may trust in Jesus alone as their Savior from sin. Divine Helper, we praise you as the giver of all truth and as the exalter of Jesus Christ, for you have given our Lord's saving word to us sinners and have exalted him in our hearts by calling us to faith. Thanks to you, we are now reborn children of God. We are joint heirs of heavenly glory with our Savior. Comfort us through our faith, and having begun your work in us, continue it until the very end. Dwell in us as teacher and protector of God's truth. Help us to grow in our faith, in our knowledge of salvation, and in our love for God. Keep us from falling prey to false teaching and unbelief. Having brought us to faith, you have now commissioned our bodies to be your holy temple and dwelling place. Produce in us then such fruits as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You have promised to give us a greater measure of your spiritual gifts than we desire or ask for. Remind us always that we are God's beloved children by faith in Christ, so that we never hesitate to bring all our wants, our troubles, our worries, our desires, our hurts, and our illnesses to him for help and healing. Filled with your grace, may we have witness to boldly testify to Christ's saving name to this unbelieving world, always confessing and never denying that he is Lord and Savior. Because our bodies are your temples, we know our sins grieve you deeply. Do not on their account abandon us, but forgive us for Jesus' sake, to the glory of his name, which you have placed on our hearts and on our lips. In his name we pray, therefore, all these things, as we pray in his name now, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is Holy Spirit Ever Dwelling. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements to draw your attention to from the bulletin. This afternoon I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and Bible class at 2 p.m. For this week, tomorrow is of course Memorial Day. There is no school at SSLS tomorrow. Tuesday, I'll be heading to Stockton for our worship service at Oakmont Senior Living at 2 p.m. and then to Sacramento for our worship service at Forever Easter House at 4:30 p.m. This Wednesday, our church council and elders will meet via Zoom. That will take place at 7 p.m. I'll be sending out a reminder and the Zoom link on Wednesday for our elders and church council. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Trinity Sunday. We have Bible class scheduled at the usual time of 9 a.m. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so we'll have our worship service with communion at 10 a.m. Following the service, we'll be having our teachers' call meeting, and then also Women's Auxiliary will meet after the teachers' call meeting. A note about the teacher call meeting, recently a large donation was given to our school, and as a result, we called a special meeting this week of the Board of Ed and discussed the possibility of calling a kindergarten teacher with the possibility of also teaching lower grades. And the Board of Ed's recommendation is to call Isaac Schmidt, who is the fiance and future husband of Michaela Hammond, to be the part-time teacher of our kindergarten and, Lord willing, also lower grades. We will be discussing that at our council meeting this week, and also then in decency and in order, we require that we announce a voters meeting 2 Sundays in advance. So we're announcing it first today, also next Sunday, and we'll meet after church for that call meeting. The congregation is invited to attend. Voters, of course, you are very much encouraged to be there. Our run-a-thon with our school was a big success on Friday. A total of $1,125 was raised by the students. They had a lot of fun. Most of the parents showed up and cheered the students on. They were very encouraging to each other as well, and many of them did a lot more than they thought they would, both running-wise and in the various events. So it was a really wonderful time. Thank you for all the support that those of you who helped out gave to the run-a-thon this week. I'll point out a couple other things from the bulletin announcements. The subscription renewals, of course, there are sign-up sheets in the entryway for those. And then there is a note from the Board of Trustees chairman regarding the large deficit that our CLC's general fund is facing right now. Please read through that and keep that in your prayers and also in your thoughts as you consider your offerings, both to our congregation and also to our church body. And then there's the World Missions prayer list for this month in the back of the bulletin. Please also read through that and pray for our missionaries and brothers and sisters in Christ overseas, including former pastor Bruce Nauman, former pastor of our congregation, Bruce Nauman, who is hitting the ground running and doing some great work in Arusha right now. So please do read that and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.